I also like to supplement something here. Helen mentioned about Proverbs 22 and verse 6. And I would like to say this to the parents and really imprint this verse on your minds so that you have hope concerning your child in spite of your failures. I think many of you, when you were listening to Helen, my wife, you had trouble perhaps understanding what she was saying, because unless you are from the church in Montreal and you understood the background of the whole matter, you might have difficulty understanding what point she was making. As many of you know, that Helen, my wife, actually had went through a long spiritual struggle herself. And this was due to the fact partly that she was a Christian from a traditional Christian church background who was never taught how to live victoriously in the Christian life. And as she is very willing to share with you, if you ask her, she lived in a constant state of spiritual defeat for years and years. And this affected the life of our daughter, Grace. In fact, Grace was very unhappy with her mother. She felt that her mother didn't live like a Christian, didn't behave like a Christian. And that became a stumbling block to Grace. And this was all the more the reason why I did not wish Grace to make a commitment to the Lord until this could be overcome in her heart, because she had a great deal of resentment towards her mother. But take comfort in these words in Proverbs chapter 22. Even if you don't have your Bible with you, just remember, as parents, Proverbs 22 verse 6. I read it to you again. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. If you do your job properly as a parent, and you train up your child in the way that he should go, he will never depart from it. And as Helen mentioned very rightly, and that was the struggle she faced, you can preach to her, and because Helen was a Christian from a traditional background, she kept preaching to Ealing, to Grace, our daughter. But because her life at that time did not match her teaching, it only made Grace resentful against the gospel. She would say to her mother, "Yeah, you're good at talking, but I don't see anything in your life that matches your words." And there became the constant problem that we had to face. In other words, Helen is speaking, that's why she, when she quoted this verse, she quoted it with some reservation, because she raised the question, how do you train the child in the way? Because in her spiritual condition at that time, she couldn't train the child in the way that she should go. Now, I would say to you, my principle, right from the beginning, in spite of the problem that Helen had to face, until she won the victory, as those of you from Montreal know, and the Lord transformed her life. And in, as you know, Helen, Grace, our daughter, was actually baptized very soon after. Helen was rebaptized. But my principle in dealing with Grace from childhood on, in spite of the handicap I had to face at home at that time, was that I required of her absolute obedience to me, without question, absolute obedience. So partly coming back to this question, from what age is the child responsible, 2 years, 3 years, or whatever? Really, the responsibility is with the parents. Now, when I say that, you may think that I sound like a dictator. But let me tell you who are parents. I have watched some of you all. I hope you don't mind me being very straight with you. And I have heard you ask your child to do something and your child say no. And the parent didn't make any response. I am absolutely amazed. I am absolutely amazed. Grace would never have dreamed. Not in her life would she have dreamed to dare to say no to me. When I say to her, do it, she will do it. If you allow your parents, as a parent, to allow your child to say no to you, then remember what Pastor Saul said just now, as well as what Helen mentioned about Eli. God will hold you accountable for that. train a child up? How can you train a child when the child keeps saying no to you? You know, I used to be a coach in a sports team. You can't coach a team if all your team members say, "Will you move out to first base?" No. "You're next on the batting list." No. "Tomorrow I want you to be here at 4 o'clock in the morning for training." No, it's too early. Do you imagine that you can train anybody like this? Now, how are you going to bring up your children if you say to the child, "Sit over there," and the child says no? And I have seen 2-year-old children saying no to the parents, and the parents don't say anything. Now, who is the boss, you or the child? Now, I'm saying this because I'm talking about Proverbs 22, verse 6. We are talking about training. And you cannot train anybody who keeps saying no to you. And if you allow the child at 2 years old to say no to you, what do you expect the child to say to you when he's 6 and when he's 16? You've left yourself with an impossible situation. I want to share this point because, as I just mentioned, I was in an exceedingly difficult position. Because after we got married, I discovered that my wife was living in defeat. Not that she committed any gross sin, but she could not live the Christian life victoriously. And that meant that we had a terribly difficult situation in the family. Grace, our daughter, would not listen to her mother. She would not listen because she said her mother has no credibility. Now, on that score, I can't say anything. You see, the only reason I can command my daughter to do something and she will listen is not because she's afraid she's going to be hit by me. She's going to be beaten by me. As a matter of fact, I have never, and Grace can testify to that, I have never physically beaten her. I have never slapped her. I have not even spanked her until the one time that I mentioned that I took out the cane, by which time she was already a teenager. I never hit her as a child. The reason she obeyed me, and it's only one reason, is because by the grace of God she saw that my life matched my words. That when I said something, I was true to my word. That by the grace of God, and only by the grace of God, I lived a life that at least to some measure would glorify God in the home. This is the reason she obeyed me. Not because she was afraid that I was going to beat her up, because I never did that. I never hit her. So as a parent, since we come back to this question about the workshop, you must, above all things, live the Christian life in your home in such a way that in your eyes the child respects you as somebody who truly lives the Christian life. And they obey you not because they are afraid of you, but because they respect you as a genuine person who deserves to be obeyed. And my daughter will obey me without question from the age of 1 year old to this day, to this very day. If I ask her to do something, she will do it. And I never take no for an answer, and she will not give no for an answer. That's why I say, I am not saying when it says here in Scripture, train up a child, that you are going to be a dictator. No, not at all. You must win the respect of your child by the sheer quality of your life. And then you can command the child anything, and the child will obey without question, or sometimes with question. And I don't mind that she questions my command. And I will give her an explanation. I will explain to her why this is so. But also part of the training is this. Once, as a little child, you have established complete obedience. That's what the Bible says. Obey your parents. But I don't preach to her all the time. Every Bible says obey the parents. Because unless you have the credibility, they will not obey. And I think Helen learned the hard way. She could try to ask Ealing to do this, and Ealing would say no. And what could the mother do? So please, I would just like to complete this point. This is true both of the family life as in the church. A church leader And many of you are leaders in the church in one way or another. Whether say you are a camp manager, you are a leader, and we are subject to your authority as a camp manager. If you tell us as a camp manager to be here tomorrow at 9 o'clock in the morning, we will be here at 9 o'clock in the morning because you have the authority to tell us to be here. Unless, of course, you behave in such a disgraceful manner that you can tell us anything you like and nobody will be here. You see, the question is a question of credibility. So I say to you parents, please don't shock me again. I really got terrified of this. I am simply amazed to hear a two-year-old child say no to his mummy or to his daddy. And the daddy and mummy doesn't even respond to that. Let me tell you this. You are going to end up in the same situation with Eli. And as Pastor Saul rightly said, God will hold you, not the child. They'll hold you responsible for that. You must learn right from the beginning, the moment the child can talk, even before the child can talk. When you say to the child, do this, not like a dictator, say, do this. I don't say please. I tell you honestly, I don't say please. I say do it. I say do it and it will be done. Nowadays, I say please. You know why? Because she's past the age of 13, as Maywa mentioned. She's a grown-up now. I still give orders. The orders will be obeyed. But now I say please. Why? Because I want her to understand that I also respect her. It is important that the child understands not only that they have to respect you, but that you also respect them. But not a two-year-old, please. No two-year-old is going to say no to the parent and get away with it. If you do that, you're going to be in trouble. But nowadays, I say, please. And most of the time, I don't give orders, as Grace can also testify. Because she is past the age where it is necessary to give orders. I want her to think for herself. So often I say to her, well, you can do it this way or you can do it that way. I don't mind which way you do it. You take your choice, but you make up your mind. And you know, we have established such a confidence and friendship with one another that often Grace will come to me and say, what do you want me to do? I say, no, I'm not going to answer that question. The question is, what do you want to do? Now, I will advise you, but I'm not going to tell you. Okay, that's strange, because she has grown up now. And so what Mark said is very true, also in the spiritual life. You have to deal with people at their age levels. And as soon as they reach the age of maturity, say at the age of 13, treat them as adults. Don't treat them as kids. You know, one problem with us Chinese parents is that we never remember that our children have grown up. We have a case in Hong Kong where the son is 45 years old, and the mother treats him as though he was 5 years old. Scolding him and telling him to do this and do that and come here and bring my jacket and push my chair. You know, in her mind, this 45-year-old son has never grown up. Now, we have to remember that the moment the child has reached the age of maturity, he's not a child anymore. I treat the child, and I said this to Grace. At the age of 13, I said, sit down, we're going to have a talk together. And she thought, did I do something wrong? I said, no, you're 13 years now, old now. And from this day, I'm going to treat you as a grown-up. I'm going to talk to you as a grown-up. I'm going to hold you responsible for your actions. I am not going to give you any direct commands from this day onward. I have commanded you to this day. But from this day on, I will never command you directly again. I will only advise you. From now on, you're responsible for all your actions. And she said, no, I'm really scared. Now I got really scared. So you're a grown-up now. I'm going to treat you as a grown-up. We're going to talk to each other as grown-ups. And if you do what is wrong, I'm going to hold you responsible for your actions. So this is the way, again, to try to complete this matter of the workshop. But please, let me emphasize, I see a lot of little young children running around, and some of them are so beautifully behaved, you see. But some of them, they scare me. Or rather, I should think the parents should be scared. I wonder whether they are running the household or you are running the household, who is the boss, you know. But make sure that you train a child up in the way. So don't ask me, from when are they responsible? 2 years old or 3 years old or 6 years old? You are responsible. You see to it that you give orders that will be obeyed, but make sure that your life is of such a quality that your child will joyfully obey. So I say this at the risk of repeating myself.
So maybe we have one last question, if there's anyone. Bema?
I would like to ask one question. Since I was baptized 2 years ago, then that means my son, he was 7. Then now he has 9 years old. And I would like to ask this question. How much I must force my son to go to the church?
I guess we can never force anybody to go to church. If you do that, you are working against him in order to obtain salvation here. I believe because your son is a little bit older right now, he can observe and understand a lot actually. So your life is more important than this kind of forceful action, you know. I guess if you have an open talk with him and explain to him why you attend the church and what you have experienced from God and help him aware of the sinful nature that we have and perhaps the joy that you exhibit before him, you know, all this kind of Christian life, you explain to him why, and I guess that is the starting point. I don't believe one should force anybody to go to church, but I guess you would probably approach him in a way like you invite him and, you know, that kind of thing. Use your influence instead, you know. And I guess the Bible said we should be as wise as a serpent. Let me see. As gentle as the dove. So I think we need wisdom in this area. And we should handle it in a way that our children should feel we are gentle, but well, maybe strong enough that, well, probably our influence will make that child go, you know. But I guess some kind of wisdom has to be exercised here. I don't know if anybody has other supplements.
Getting very late, and we don't have time to answer all the questions, and we do apologize for those who have asked questions and has not been answered. I will urge you to speak to your leaders, or maybe afterward you can speak to one of them. And can we give a hand to them for their participation?